At the big house, Grandpa and Grandma have separate bedrooms. Grandpa's is the larger, right off the hall, while Grandma's adjoins his. There's a small cot in Grandpa's room, and sometimes Jackie sleeps there for her nap, or occasionally overnight. She likes to lie facing the wall and pick the ivy wallpaper off to reveal bit by bit the rose pattern beneath. She likes waking up in the morning and in the semi-gloom watching Grandpa prepare for the day. It isn't Grandpa's rising that wakes her. It's the unaccustomed noise. What you hear depends on which side of the milk house you sleep on. On the little house side, the only early morning disturbance is the chitter-chatter of 100 sparrows in the thick ivy that covers the chimney from ground to roof. But on the big house side, she can hear the clang of the milk cans coming up from the barn to the milk house, the crash and clatter of milk bottle cases being loaded into the milk trucks, the trucks themselves driving out of the yard. And then from the woodpile side of the big house comes the strident crow of the rooster, soaring into the sky over and over. Jackie watches Grandpa dress through almost closed lids so he won't know she's awake. If he is ever naked, it happens in the bathroom or when she's asleep, for he always has on one-piece long underwear as he moves quietly around his room. He puts on his blue cambric work shirt, buttons it almost up. He steps into his one-piece overalls, pulls the straps over his shoulders. He fastens the straps to the bib, not by buttonholes or snaps, but with metal loops that fit around the brass buttons on the two corners of the bib. Then he sits on his bed to pull on his mottled brown cotton socks with the white toes and heels, the kind she has a monkey made out of. And then his heavy work shoes that are leather and come up over his ankles. His movements are deliberate, and Jackie can hear every one of his regular breaths, labored as though he were hard. Sometimes she decides to get up and follow Grandpa to the bathroom for the next part of the ritual. She loves to watch Grandpa shave. It's more interesting than watching Daddy, who uses a safety razor. Grandpa soaks a towel till it's steaming, then wrings it and packs it around his chin. Holding the towel in place with one hand, with the other he scrubs his wet shaving brush in the china cup of soap on the windowsill till it's thick with suds. Then he sets down the towel and lathers up his whiskers. The white mask softens his beard as he strops back and forth, his single-edged razor on the brown leather strap that hangs by the window. At last he takes the razor and starts slicing off the lather in long, clean swatches. After each swipe, he rinses off the piled foam under the hot faucet. He twinkles at Jackie from the mirror, but doesn't speak. When all the lather has been shaved away, he uses the wet towel to wash any remaining soap off his face, dries his neck and face and ears, puts away his brush and razor in the medicine cabinet, and returns to the bedroom. There, Grandpa stands before his dresser and brushes his sparse hair with a brush with no handle, only a strap on the back for his hand. He buttons the top buttons of his shirt so that his damp, long underwear collar no longer shows. He puts his pad of paper and a pencil in his shirt pocket. He puts on his gold-rimmed glasses. "Let's go see what's for breakfast," he says to Jackie. But she already knows. She can smell the buckwheats and bacon. She also knows why Grandma has a separate bedroom. Grandpa snores. It's an incredible noise. A noise like repeated rolls of thunder. And then there will be a sudden complete silence. No breathing. Nothing. She lies in bed, holding her breath, wondering if Grandpa will ever breathe again. The silence is interminable. And then suddenly there will come two or three quick snorts, followed by another onslaught of thunder, that makes the whole room tremble. No wonder Grandma is in another room. The wonder is that she isn't in one of the bedrooms that are way across the hall.